I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Back on the scene.
With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 632. This is your host, Danny. And joining me, the co-host of the show, let's go with Pete.
Yo!
What's going on, Pete? Welcome back.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Oh, wait, actually, no, wait.
Was that Paris back?
Right? Yeah. Well, you were back last week. You were back on Thursday.
Way to start off the show with a night.
I know.
Good job.
Dude, it's early morning. You know, the Super Bowl is later on today. By the time people listen to this, they already know who's going to win everything. So.
Right.
But welcome, man. What's up? What's going on?
Nothing much. It's been an interesting weekend. I'm trying not to burn myself out, but I've been having some good times on Ghost Recon, the Wildlands beta, and Let's jump into that once we finished doing some housekeeping here on the show.
Definitely. And also, we have here Paris. Hey, he's back.
Yeah, what's going on, brothers? I have to apologize because last episode, I had to drop out. I had a little family emergency, but everything's all good. And I have to say, before we get into Ghost Recon, I have to say this. I have become quite smitten with Horizon Zero Dawn. That is going to be a day one purchase for me on PlayStation 4 when it comes out at the end of the month, because all this preview coverage has come out. I've been watching a lot of videos, you know, reading and listening to impressions. And I think this is definitely my type of game. It seems like it's going to be a nice blend of Far Cry, Witcher, and Fallout. It's going to blend those three genre of games and just throw it all into one package. And I'm excited to see what Guerrilla Games has in store for us. And on the flip side, which is funny, I got into a little Twitter, not debate, but conversation with an unnamed EA employee. I'm officially worried about Mass Effect Andromeda. And it was Horizon Zero. Seeing that coverage made me worried. We've seen nothing on Mass Effect. And I feel like they may be just trying to coast on their name versus actually showing us what Andromeda is on its own merits. And the little bit we have seen of Andromeda has not been that impressive, to be perfectly honest with you. I keep waiting for that extended gameplay preview thing that I'm like, oh, yeah, this is Mass Effect. This is what I'm looking for. Showing me just the variety of things that you can do in the game. And we haven't had that yet. And here we are, roughly a month and a half away from this thing launching. We've seen nothing on multiplayer. I mean, I'm worried. I'm officially worried. So maybe something changes my mind in the next month or so, but I have it pre-ordered. I'm not going to cancel it just yet, but I am officially worried. And I don't know. We got to see more. We really do.
Put it this way. We have seen more previews of Zelda than Mass Effect.
Yeah.
For the past few months.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. And I'll shut up from that. But yeah, that's been my week.
Now, and my advice for those that are planning to purchase Mass Effect, wait until you see the reviews and the feedback from everybody else that has the game or that have played the game, and then decide to buy it, because I think you're right, Paris. I'm a little bit like worried too about that, man, because if there's not a lot of previews or, you know, more stuff than we got to see before, then why I should just purchase the game?
And here's, you know, why. Real quick. And here's why, me personally, why I'm worried. I didn't like Mass Effect 3. I thought it was okay, but it was a step down from the first two, especially Mass Effect 2. It was a step backwards, in my opinion. Matter of fact, when that crazy ending, I never even finished it when that original ending was in place. I finished it when they had edited that ending, but I just played it to play it because I wanted to end the trilogy. I wasn't like Mass Effect 2 where I would go to bed every night and that's all I was thinking about. And I would wake up in the morning like, oh man, I got to go do this mission and I got to do that. You know, it's like where I was just, they had me, they hooked me. Whereas Mass Effect 3 just did not. So I was really wanted to see, all right, where are they taking Andromeda? Are they going to pull me back into the franchise? And like I said, they're just not showing us anything. And I guess they feel like the hardcore Mass Effect fans are just going to blind buy it. And hey, I'm probably going to wind up being one of them. But I just wish EA would show us a little more. That's all.
All right, head over to GamertagWeird.com or play.it/GamerTag. Listen to our past episodes. And you can also find us on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@GamertagRadio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/GamertagRadio.
Speaking about Mass Effect and not showing a lot of previews out there a month before the game comes out, we have seen a lot of Ghost Recon, which is great because now the closed beta just came out a couple of days ago, and you know, the gamers been playing, a lot of people have been playing it, and also our friends, because we also got like extra codes. Each person that got the closed beta, they get extra codes for them to invite their friends to play the game too. So, Pete Paris, now this is like your first time now sitting down playing the same exact demo that I played during the trip at the event in San Francisco. What are your thoughts, man? Because I'm still loving it. I'm still having a great time. But we could talk about the good and the bad.
So, it's no different. Personally, like game experience wise, other than being able to spend a lot more time on it, similar to what we did, either whether it was E3, watching the gameplay in Paris with Paris, or what you did over at in San Francisco, I'm enjoying it immensely. I can definitely see myself getting lost in this game, but I'm trying not to burn myself out this weekend. Because I want to truly enjoy and have fun come March 7th. I could definitely see myself getting immersed in this. It being an Ubisoft open world game, I kind of... It's similar to what Paris said about Horizon Zero Dawn. Whereas I feel like this is a military version of Far Cry. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm definitely enjoying this, and I could definitely see myself, because I am going to be getting this on PC as well, because I've got two different distinct groups of friends that I'm going to play this with. So I could definitely see myself, A, getting lost on side missions, and probably only occasionally going towards the main mission. But yeah, there's just so many things to do, and if you just want to go ahead and just raise Cain and get the militia on you, similar, you know, a la to GTA, you know, it's, you know, where you can just start kicking the hornet's nest of the enemy and just having those waves and waves and waves of purples coming in to attack you. There's just, it's, I could definitely see myself getting lost in this game for a long time.
And you, Paris?
Yeah, so this was my first time obviously getting to play it since E3, since I missed the event a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I kind of had forgot how the gameplay and everything worked when you had the controller, because, you know, everything, you're just watching videos. So I played with Mandy, and I was playing with Khalif over from Spawn on Me podcast. So shout out to them. And, it was great because the three of us kind of had like this self-discovery of the way the gameplay mechanics work and how the world's working, how you're upgrading your skills and the weapons and everything, like all at once. So that was really cool to be able to play it with people, and we were discovering all this stuff together. But I mean, just pure gameplay wise, I mean, we had a blast. I mean, we were laughing, joking, we're having fun. I think we barely even touched the main mission. We were just totally doing side missions, and, you know, it definitely had a Grand Theft Auto Online feel to it, just going in there with a couple of my friends and just doing whatever we wanted. And I think one of the most impressive things to me was the size and scope of Bolivia. We were literally just limited to that one area for the closed beta, but then you scroll out and you see the entire map and you're like, wait, there's all this? Just this area right here is huge. You know, and there's still, and this is just like a fraction of the entire world. So with that said, just my slight negative. So I played it on PlayStation 4 because I was curious to see what it would look like on the PlayStation 4 Pro. And Khalif was playing it on the Pro as well. And we both agreed graphically, I mean, it's not the most impressive thing in the world. But then at the same time, you have to account for the size and scope of Bolivia and what they're trying to pull off and the sandbox that they're giving us. So to me, irrelevant. I really give it a pass on that. But I noticed when I was tweeting about it yesterday, I had some people hitting me up that have been playing the PC version. And you have to remember, this is a beta. This is not final product. But these were people that were playing on 1070s and 1080s. And they were a little underwhelmed with just the fine tuning of the PC version because they were getting very low frame rates, that whole thing. So, again, we'll have to wait and see when it comes out, the final product. But similar to Pete, I'm pretty convinced now I'm going to get it on the PlayStation and I'll get it on the PC as well because I want to experience it from both ways. But if I have to have any major ding on this game, it's the driving. My God, the driving is terrible in this. I'll just leave it at that. I understand why they're doing it, but I never felt truly in control of the vehicles. And I put a hilarious Khalif posted it. I didn't post it, but Khalif and I tagged people on it. But there's a hilarious video of me flying the plane for the first time. And I even say before I get in, you sure you want me to fly it? I think we're going to crash this thing. And we crash it immediately. And that was hilarious. But I
tell you this, Paris, I think the driving a car, it's way easier than flying a plane or a helicopter. Those are really tough to control in this game.
Yeah. And that's what I kind of mean. I almost feel like that's, and I'm sure as we're playing it more and down the road, it'll seem like, wait, remember when we used to think this was hard? But from the jump, I don't like the driving and the flying mechanics so much. I feel like you're fighting the controls versus them actually just working with you, so to speak. But with that said, I love the fact that you can hop in any vehicle at any time. I love that there's side missions for you to actually steal some of these things and you can use them in your objectives as you're tackling some of these missions. I love that the developers, instead of them forcing you to do something to quote unquote have fun, you get to make your own fun in this. And there's going to be so many different stories and things that come out of what a group of four people decide to do versus what the developers want you to do. Because again, you can tackle this any way you want. And I'll say just one final thing, you know, doing the single player portion of it is okay, but I totally see this is a game that's meant to be played with your friends. And I did play with some randoms a little bit. And my first thought, and I tweeted about this, was get a squad. I don't know about playing with randoms because I want people that we're all in agreement on what we're doing versus, unless you're just going in it to just goof around. But if you're seriously trying to tackle these missions, you need a group of four people that are on the same page, so to speak, versus just jumping into it with random people.
Agree. Have you guys done this mission to defend the radio? You tried that?
Yes. Yeah.
What do you think? It's pretty challenging, right?
If you do it by yourself, it's a little challenging. Obviously, with a bigger group, it's a little bit more fun. But if, in my personal opinion, if you spread out and just have everybody attack from, from where I was up in the church with one other person, had two people down on the ground, and it made things a lot easier because you get to see them coming in and then you can either throw grenades or set up mines, which is what I did. Mm-hmm. Said some people throwing out distraction grenades, which would have them turn around and it would stop shooting at you. And then you could just take them out while you're there. So,
yeah, there was another one too. But it, I was playing a mission and then based on like your drone, you're checking out the area. Sometimes you unlock side missions during a mission. So there was one of a helicopter, but I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I just rushed to that area. And that person that was part of the side mission went inside the helicopter and escaped. Yep. So I don't know if you guys got to see that part. Have you tried to finish that? Because I think in that mission, you have to like take your time and not let them see you in order for you to beat that side
mission. What I did is I had my friend pilot a helicopter, dropped right above the helicopter we were supposed to take, and I just jumped out, parachuted down, jumped in the helicopter, took off. Never pulled the trigger, never encountered anybody, I just stole it from everybody, and it was hilarious.
But that's the part that I like, is the freedom. Do whatever you want. Yes. Something doesn't work out the first time, do it again and do it differently. And you are definitely, you're going to try to maybe finish and succeed this mission, you know? So I like that, man, a lot, man. I like that a lot. I mean, the freedom of it.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing, that they're giving us this giant sandbox of Bolivia, and they're giving us these tools inside the sandbox and saying, hey, guys, go have fun. I mean, yeah, there's a story, there's a final objective that you can do, but explore the world, take your time, you know, do other things. Don't just rush through to get to the end of the story mission. There's so many side things that you can do and upgrades that you can get and just new ways to tackle these objectives. Like I said, I can see this, you know, definitely if it's supported right with DLC and everything and they're adding in new weapons and just missions and objectives, there's just going to be so much to do in the sandbox that I could see us still talking about Ghost Recon a year from now. That's how much I could see in this.
I will say this, Paris, and we've experienced this before in betas and alphas that, you know, people get to play online, you know, before launch. You're not getting the full assets.
No.
So that potentially could be why either yours or other people's experiences from a graphical perspective are less than what they were expecting. But again, like you said, this is a beta. So you're not getting the full package of graphic assets that you would normally get in the full launch.
Agreed. And that's what I mean. But at that same time, what I realized was, if this was the final graphics, it's not about the graphics. You know what I mean?
You get so lost in everything else that it's secondary.
Exactly. So I'm sure there's going to be some optimization here in a final month when it comes out. But my one worry is, if the PC version performs like that in the final, then we got a problem. We do. But it is a beta, so let's wait and see when it comes out on March 7th. And like Danny said, anyone that is actually worried about that, don't pre-order it. Wait until it comes out and see what people are saying before you buy it. You know? I mean, and that goes with any game.
Yeah, with any game, man. Here's the thing, too. This is the thing that I like, and for listeners out there, you know, pay close attention. When you see a developer that's really promoting a game, and there's a lot of previews of a certain game, like, for example, this one, there was a lot of private events that the media got to see, and also the community got to see this game, and now they're letting everybody, whoever gets the code, to actually play this game. They're confident about this game, and they've been working on this now for, like, what, 4 years plus?
Yeah.
You know, and now it's coming out in March, so... Look, man, I'm excited. I'm really excited to play this. And I know some people might say, hey, is this similar to The Division? I don't think so. I think that, to me, this one, there's a lot more things to do. The freedom is 10 times bigger than The Division. But I know you guys complained a few things when The Division came out, because you guys got to see it before that, right? Before the release. What like, if somebody asks you, what makes this game different than The Division, what would you say?
I think this game takes components of all of the other Ubisoft titles and forces and molds them into one. This is, I don't want to say it's the perfect, but it's a great amalgamation of all of the good components of all of the rest of their games, right? Mm-hmm. You've got really, really good open world environments, similar to the Assassin's Creed environment. The jungle and terrain aspects of Far Cry. And then you've got the weapon customization of The Division. And then you have the shooter component from the Ghost Recon titles of yesterday. So taking all of those individual components and putting them into one is pretty much what the Wildlands game has been gearing up towards. And
agreed.
I can't wait. I got the countdown's ready to go.
All right. And you, Paris?
I don't play the Division, so I don't think I'd be a good person to talk about.
8 out of 8.
8 out of 8.
It's all good. Have you guys tried the gunsmith, like customizing your weapons a little bit or something, or not really? Or
there's not a lot that you can do.
Yeah,
I think it's beta. It's so early and it's a beta. They're not going to give you everything. I mean, what I was able to get is, you know, obviously everybody gets the M4A1, you know, the M4 whatever, the sniper rifle, the M21 heavy machine gun, which you can actually modify those, and as well as the first two guns that you get. But I spent most of my time after a specific mission with the MSR, which is the sniper rifle. And if it's a weapon you pick up, and I don't know if this is because it's the beta or if it's because this is what you're going to have in the end game, but if it's a picked up game, you can't modify or alter it.
Nope.
Only in the, and I don't know if that's just because it's the beta or if it's, you know, this is what it's going to be moving forward. But there were some weapons for, like the MSR, that I really, really digged. But I couldn't do any. I couldn't put on a different scope. I couldn't put on a silencer because there is no silencer. So when you, when that thing goes off, everybody knows you're hitting people. So, you know, the one thing we haven't broached and nobody's brought up is multiplayer. Nobody knows what that experience is going to be like. So, I mean, we've all been talking single player co-op
campaign.
That's the one thing that I am looking forward to. I want to know, what does Ubisoft have in mind for a multiplayer component? Is there a multiplayer component? It's kind of been
they haven't announced anything,
they
right?
They haven't. And that's the one thing I'm like, are they even bothering with that? Or are they just, are they not trying to do the Dark Zone concept, you know, where you've got PvP? Is this just a PvE group co-op experience?
I think they just really want people to play the campaign first. They've really been pushing this for years now. They've been pushing this, you know, so hopefully last minute surprise, I guess, or maybe this is just a game. I mean, who knows? Who knows? So one last thing before we go to our next topic and stuff. Have you guys even gotten close to the boss for this?
Beta? I've beaten it. I beat it.
Okay,
Friday.
So okay. How was the experience? I haven't gotten there. I've been doing a lot of the side missions and stuff, so how was that? Is it challenging? Is it easy? How was it?
I think if you go in with a group, it's not as challenging. If you go in solo, you might have some difficulty. And I think also as you level up, you get strong enough that you don't have to worry about, or you're not as concerned.
Okay.
It's not going to be as difficult. And again, this is just the beta. And maybe just because the people I was in with, you know, there was, you know, it was a full component of 4 people. All of us were level 8 or above, it wasn't that difficult.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing too, when you check out like the missions and stuff and you highlight that boss, it's only one, it's like a one star or something, like the difficulty would, it looked really, really easy. But I could imagine later when you unlock more bosses later.
Oh yeah. And also
it's
remember
be challenging.
Also takes into consideration your level. We've talked about this in different in other episodes and other releases.
Mm-hmm.
The game is it dynamically shifts the difficulty. So if I go in under veteran, but let's say I'm playing with Paris and he's going in under ghosts, he's going to have a much more difficult experience than I am. So it scales towards the player, not as a group. Like for example, in Destiny, if I'm paired up with Paris and Paris is, you know, he's light 40. Across the board and everything's 400 or whatever, and I go in with a light 38, I'm going to have a much more difficult time because the enemies are scaled towards Paris. Whereas in Wildlands, it's scaled individually. So if I go in as a level 18 and Danny is a level 10, it's going to be easier for Danny because Danny's enemies are going to be level 10, but mine are going to be level 18. If that makes sense.
Hmm. Interesting. All right. Anything else? That's it. All right. That's it.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, so it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Fan mail. You have a lot of voicemails and emails. I know last week we had a lot of emails, but we wanted to save it for this show and also voicemails and stuff. So let's go with our first voicemail. This is from a caller all the way from Pittsburgh, and it's about the Xbox Scorpio, my favorite topic of the show. All right, so let's play right now.
Hey, yo, what's going on, GTR crew? This is Eustace from Pittsburgh again. Hope I'm not hitting you guys up too much, but I just wanted to get your opinion on something real quick. I don't know if you guys had a chance to listen to the Kind of Funny Games cast from last week, but they said something about the Xbox Scorpio, talking that they think that they don't believe that Microsoft is going to drop this console this year. It seemed like they said it was going to be announced in the fall, but it wouldn't make sense to come out this year, instead coming out in 2018 as a pretty much new console. And they have some good points about it being making no sense in coming out now, because they're still, if the games are going to be backwards and forwards compatible, they're still going to have to go for the lowest common denominator, so you're not going to have that huge leap in visual fidelity. Kind of made a little bit of sense, but I still think that they're going to drop it this year. Whether that's a mistake or not, we'll see. But I just wanted to get your guys' opinions on that and see what you thought about it. That's pretty much all I have for today. You guys take it easy. Peace.
All right, so the other podcast, Kind of Funny Games, they talked about that it doesn't make sense for this console to come out in 2017, but instead 2018. What are your thoughts about that?
So I watched that Kind of Funny thing, and since I've been accused of being the Black Colin Moriarty in the past, I guess I'll go ahead and tackle this first. I disagree with Colin on this one. There's no way that they're going to delay this thing to 2018. The PR nightmare that Microsoft would have if Phil Spencer got on that stage at E3 this year, talks about Scorpio, but said, yeah, but it's not going to come out until spring of 2018 or whatever. People would be very upset. I get what they mean, that the Scorpio, yeah, it is going to have to cater to the lowest common denominator, which is the Xbox One. And in that sense, yeah, it's going to be very similar to the PlayStation 4 Pro, that, yeah, you'll be able to do forwards and backwards compatibility and all that. But the fact that any game that comes out this holiday, you'll be able to play it on Xbox One, Xbox One S, and Scorpio. And then obviously Scorpio is going to native 4K it, up-res it to 4K, whatever the heck, we'll find out at E3 this year. But it's coming. There is no way that they don't put out Project Scorpio this year. And like I said, Aaron Greenberg even kicked off this year saying this was the year of the beast or the monster or whatever he said, which is Scorpio. So it has to come out at this point. Just the marketing aspect behind it says that it has to come out this year.
Actually, he tweeted that January 1st of this year.
Isn't that what I just said?
Yeah, I'm saying, yeah. I know you said that. I'm just saying that that's what he did. You guys are punks. All right, so let's go. And you guys want to read another email? Another email before we play another voicemail?
Well, should I read my negative Nancy one?
Yes.
Yes, go for it, Paris. We've been holding this for a while.
Go for it, Colin.
Because I know you guys
go for it, Colin.
You guys held off last week, so let me read it here. Okay, here we go. And this is from Mike, and he says, would be nice to exclude the massive negative discussion about Nintendo in the future. Discussion is lowering my desire to continue to listen. Love what you guys do before Mr. Negative. Well, yeah, love what you guys do before Mr. Negative, whether it's Xbox or Nintendo, is killing the fun. By the way, hypocritical to say it's a waste to spend $500 on a system when you're paying twice that for a graphics card. The negativity is getting old. Exclamation point. And in my Donald Trump Twitter voice, sad. No, he didn't say that. But no, he didn't say that last part. But no. But Mike is funny because Mike sent us this email and I responded, and then Mike responded to me. So I'll just simply say thank you for the email. Everything's all good. This is just funny since that email. And like I said to him in the email, yes, I'm quote unquote Mr. Negativity, I guess. But the point is, I just give my opinion. That's all it is. It is my opinion. You do not have to listen to me at all. Hell, more than half the time, probably wrong anyways, right? And like I told him, you know, yes, I'm not getting a Switch at launch. And I've detailed why I'm not getting one at launch. I don't need to. You know, I'm going to wait it out. Breath of the Wild isn't enough of an appeal to me to get one at launch. But with that said, I am going to get one. I'm not going to, you know, I'd be crazy to not get a Switch. Of course, I'm going to get a Switch. Mario Odyssey is something I'm looking forward to. Zelda is something, obviously, I want to play. Eventually, they're going to have Donkey Kong, Metroid. Again, the Nintendo portfolio is worth it to me, even at $300, even at what I consider to be overpriced accessories. Like I joked the last time I was on, you know, hey, even if they're overpriced, I'm eventually going to buy it. They got me. You know, I'm one of the hardcore people. I'm going to get it. I also understand why someone like Mandy or Danny is getting one at launch. You know what I mean? And then, you know, when he was talking about the negativity with Microsoft, what is the one thing I always say? I freaking love Xbox Anywhere, right? Matter of fact, Fallout Shelter is coming to Xbox Anywhere now. I mean, we know more games are going to be coming to Xbox Anywhere in 2017, which justifies my $700 graphics card purchase, right? I'm doing air quotes again. But for me, my PC is my Xbox. You know what I mean? I've said that multiple times, and I'm perfectly happy with it. Hell, I've been playing Gears of War 4, you know, in the last week a bunch on Windows 10, and it's fantastic. I love the fact that Microsoft has now given us this option that I don't necessarily need to go get Scorpio this holiday because, in a way, I already have my Scorpio and it's my PC. And all the games that are going to come out that'll be on Scorpio, I can play on my PC and I can play with Danny, I can play with Pete, I can play with everybody. So I don't need one, right? So he responded and he realized he kind of jumped the gun a little bit and went back and forth and all that. So, I mean, it's all good, man. I understand people can get personally vested in this because we're all so passionate about video games and everything. And, you know, you don't want someone crapping on your decision to pick up a particular product, right? If you're going to invest your money into it and you're excited, you don't want the black Colin Moriarty coming on Gamertag Radio telling you that, you know, he's not going to get it. I get it. You know what I mean? But it's all good, man. Like I said, it's all opinions. It's just an opinion. What I say is not fact at all. You know, you're more than free to disagree with me, and I would expect people to disagree with me on a lot of this stuff. So, Mike, again, thank you for the email. So I know you guys might want to comment, so I'll shut up.
No, I think you said enough. anything else, Pete? No, you good?
No, I think it's good. We're fine.
All right, cool. All right, so we have another caller all the way from Georgia. And again, this is about the Switch.
Hey, Gamertag Radio. This is Mark Brown out of Woodstock, Georgia. Recently listened to your latest episode from Monday, and they were talking about the Switch accessory pricing. I don't quite agree with it because you got to remember, you're paying $60 for an Xbox controller. You go and buy a Switch controller, you're getting two in one. While, yes, the gaming lineup is kind of lacking, it's going to be more for the hardcore gamers, the hardcore Nintendo fans, just as Paris has said. And I definitely will see myself buying one Christmas time because I'm pretty sure they will drop at $50. But also to go back to the accessories, you got two controllers in one. You don't need a second docking station. You don't need the charging dock for the controller when you're playing the game. I mean, some of those accessories are just extras to help out. You really don't need all of them. Thanks, guys. You have a great day and love your podcast.
All right, Switch accessories. He doesn't agree with us, Paris, because you're getting two for one. Your thoughts, man? Because
I get his what he's saying, and you know, thank you for the voicemail. But in my personal opinion,
that was Monday, right? That was the Monday show episode that we talked about Switch. I think so. Go for it.
I love how he asked me to start answering, and then he jumps in.
I did that on purpose, just to mess with you. So go.
You're gonna curse. I heard you. No, I mean, I get what he's saying, and I totally get it. I disagree. I still think all this stuff is overpriced, and I understand. Yeah, but what if I lose my dock? Now I got to go spend $100 go get another dock, right? I get what he's saying about the Joy-Cons. You're getting two for one, but in reality, you need both of them. So in that sense, it's still overpriced. I think that Pro Controller at $70 is overpriced, but that's just me. You know, hey, if you think it's reasonable and you want to spend it, hey, go for it. Knock yourself out. But thank you for the voicemail.
And don't forget, yeah, you might be spending $80 for a pair of Joy-Cons, but how are you gonna charge them? You're going to have to spend $30 for the charging grip.
Yeah, This is my point.
So right, there, you're talking $110 for a Joy-Con and grips.
Let me put it this way. When I do get a Switch, and you know my son, he's going to be excited. He's going to play it. I'm look at him dead in his eyes. I'm like, boy, if you lose anything, this is coming out of your allowance, not mine, because this stuff is expensive. You know what I mean? So it's not going to be
good. That look.
Yeah, that's how I look at it. Like if we were to lose something and I had to go replace it, I feel like it's pricey. That's just me.
And it's funny because, like, all right, so. It, for me, it's almost a no, which doesn't make sense because I have a $200 SCUF controller that's sitting in a case that I haven't touched in 3 months. And I'm feeling like $90 for the Switch controller is suboptimal at best. Just like the same issue that you have with the controller, with the Joy-Cons being too small, that's going to be a concern, other than unless I'm going to let the kids play, right? And might even be too big for my 18-year-old, but my 13 and, you know, my 13-year-old might be, you know, it may not be too small for her. But I'd rather spend the $70 on the Pro controller, get the full features, and not get carpal tunnel trying to grip that little thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And at the end of the day, the whole pricing on the Switch bothers me. You know, you're spending, I mean, if we're going to go there, I mean, if you want additional storage on there because you don't have much to begin with, you're going to spend anywhere from $30 for a 64 gig card to upwards of, you know, $150-$200 if you want a much, much bigger card. You know, if you're going to use any additional space, then if you want, you know, $30 for the charging grip, like I mentioned, $80 for another pair of Joy-Cons, there's $110. You know, $60 for games, you're already at the $575, $600 mark out the door on the Switch. For that, get Scorpio. It might be cheaper to get a Scorpio.
The thing is, too, I was planning to get the Pro controller, and once I got to see the price, I'm like, well, I'm going to play with the Joy-Cons. Forget that.
Welcome to carpal tunnel, Danny.
My God, that's like expensive, dude. Super expensive. I don't know. All right, so we have more emails. This is another one. This is from Chuck. He's like, hey, Gamer Tag Radio crew, I have a question for you. My kids love playing Disney Infinity. They make the houses and the universe gets full very fast. With a PlayStation Pro out now and Scorpio out soon, if I play on them, would it known I have more quote-unquote memory, or would they think it's a capacity still, or can I put it into the world? Disney Infinity is discontinued, so no update. I believe you buy Disney Infinity, you will still get the last update, and that's it. What about other games like Minecraft? Also, will you be able to build a bigger world, or will they need an update first? I don't know much about computers and stuff. So thanks, Chuck. Big shout out to you, man, and thanks, man. So, you guys are into the whole PC stuff, but I think it's just the same thing. It's not like you could build bigger worlds or anything like that, or there's like extra content just because you have a PlayStation Pro or a Scorpio, right? That's not how it works. But your thoughts about that, man?
So the Anyone? Only experience I have with Infinity games, with any of the Infinity stuff, is the little characters that I have at my desk at work. I will say that while it was canceled, they seized development, and I don't know how legitimate this is. I know Game Informer talked about this last month or earlier this month. But Avalanche Software, which is the people that did it, has been resuscitated by Warner Brothers to work on a Cars 3 game. Now, I don't know if this actually means that they're going to work on an Infinity-based game, or if this is a totally different IP, you know, and direction for the studio. But this potentially could mean that, you know, hey, maybe they're opening it up for one last run and using, you know, maybe Cars 3. I don't know again, but you know, this is from an article on January 24th on Game Informer. So
we're going to play another voicemail. This is from Sunny, all the way from Oregon.
Hey, what's up, GTR crew? My name is Sunny, calling from Oregon. Quick question. Last year, I converted all my gaming to the PC, mostly just play by myself, play any kind of game on there. But then with Wildlands coming out, I'm looking to get that, and obviously I want to play some multiplayer. But I'm not a mouse and keyboard player, and I'm wondering how much is that going to hinder me playing multiplayer online on the PC using the controller for the Xbox. And everything I've heard says, you know, guys who use mouses, the accuracy is a lot more, you know, accurate and stuff like that. Anyway, so I'm wondering if it's even worth my time to jump in multiplayer and get my hopes up, or if I'm just going to be hosed. Anyway, appreciate what you guys do. Thanks.
All right, so he is not a PC mouse guy. He's more of a controller type of person and stuff. But is it going to hurt him if he goes online and play multiple?
Yes.
Dead man walking. Yes. Dead man walking.
100%. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. I was like him years ago where I just didn't use mouse and keyboard at all. I taught myself to use mouse and keyboard on PC. Because it is absolutely essential if you're going to play in any multiplayer games against other PC folks. You know, I know Microsoft is experimenting right now with Gears 4, where mouse and keyboard guys can play against Xbox One guys, you know, and that whole thing. And they've opened it up into like the social playlist. But if you're going to a competitive playlist where you're trying to win and be the best, you're going to lose every time to a mouse and keyboard person. Let's put it this way. If you have the controller in your hand, and you're at a certain skill set and you're going against a person with a mouse and keyboard that is at the same exact skill set as you, he will beat you 9 out of 10 times because you're simply just more accurate and able to respond to things quicker with a mouse and keyboard than you can with a controller. So my advice to you is learn how to use a mouse and keyboard if you want to be competitive in multiplayer on PC. It's a learning curve, but once you get it, you'll have it for life. It's like riding a bicycle. It really is.
All right, Pete.
Yeah, like I said, dead man walking. You're going to get wrecked every time. Yeah, you have a disadvantage to the point that you'll either stop playing multiplayer games online or just be forced to switch to keyboard and mouse. There's no way. And there's people that play at much higher DPI settings. Mm-hmm. I traditionally am around 1800 to 2400 DPI, and it takes me a game or two to get used to it because I traditionally surf on the web around 800 to 1200. But yeah, there's no way a controller can functionally compete against the ability to just flick a wrist and be on the other side of the screen. There's no way.
All right. And we have another a voicemail all the way from the UK. And this is about the Scorpio.
It's just Dave here in the UK. Just wanted to weigh in on the Scorpio thing. Obviously, that's blown up this week following the Digital Foundry leaked document. I really appreciated the discussion on the last episode. But just a couple of things. So I know you guys said at the beginning, obviously, this was all just speculation, rumor. And I just wanted to kind of reiterate that. Because I think, you know, as the discussions go on, it's easy to kind of forget about that. You know, until we hear from Microsoft on the specs and what it's capable of. You know, all this is, and especially on a document that's probably, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 months old at this point. We really need to keep in mind that these are rumors and things may have changed since that document. I'm still confident that we'll see the Microsoft first party games such as, you know, your Forza Horizon 3s, your Gears of War 4, those types of games. I'm still confident we're going to see those running at a native 4K. But I think, you know, the box is going to be capable also of offering those techniques such as the sparse rendering or checkerboarding, you know, if that's needed for some games and developers.
All right, Pete, this voicemail was very long. So I had to trim it down to like a minute or so. But thanks for the voicemail, man.
All right. So thanks for the voicemail. Appreciate it. So with respects to not being able to maybe trust Phil and or Microsoft and what they're selling, you have to remember Microsoft pretty much caught PlayStation napping with the announcement of Scorpio at E3. I don't think anybody was expecting that. With Microsoft announcing that they're moving forward towards a next-gen upgrade 3 years after the release cycle of the Xbox One shows to me personally that either they realized they weren't going to win this hardware cycle or they wanted to get a leg up on the next one with Scorpio, and hence why they went for the fences on this. If you want to talk specs-wise, and I think we've beaten this horse, you know, dead, the Scorpio will have a minimum of around 8 gigs of graphic memory. While we don't know this for a fact, it is the bare minimum we should be expecting from a next-gen or upgraded system.
It's 12.
The Pro also has 8 gigs of graph RAM with an additional 1 gig of RAM set aside for background processes. Now, in terms of memory bandwidth, this is super important when you're talking 4K and VR, and the Scorpio appears to dominate the PS4. Again, my personal opinion, with 320 gigabits per second in comparison to 218 on the Pro. Now, that's a very important thing to note, because it's the same type of bandwidth we're talking about that's on the NVIDIA 1080 that Paris and I have. So I think it has a very good chance of being what Microsoft needs. And then to better push that point across, Thomas Mahler, who is the dev from Ori and the Blind Forest, supports what Microsoft is doing with the Scorpio by saying, and I quote, because this is, I pulled this from NeoGAF, "Microsoft will need to do little work to make it clear that everyone that Scorpio isn't just a half-assed upgrade, which the PS4 Pro kind of is, but a full-blown next-gen machine that's just backwards compatible to your current library." So, I don't know. I really think Microsoft is going for the fences on this. I think Scorpio is not going to be just a comparable PS4 Pro. If the specs are what Phil says, then I think they have a solid competitor for people to be able to play a PC grade console, which I think is what Microsoft is trying to do. They're not trying to compete with the people who are trying to get Origin or main gear type machines, or people like, you know, Paris and I who can build these monster PCs without having to go and break the bank. And that's exactly what that's the field that Scorpio is trying to fill. They're just saying, okay, you don't want the console, but you want something that's going to be comparable to what everybody else is playing on PC. Here's a Scorpio.
Hey guys, just finished listening to episode 630, and I have to thank you for the words of encouragement at the end of the podcast. Speaking about getting out of your comfort zone and doing something different to be successful in life, I'm an adult who enjoys games and Gamertag Radio, and recently decided to make moves into gaming by starting a YouTube Twitch channel. Your podcast and my son's interest in YouTube gaming channels have inspired me to do something of my own. I plan to devote as much time as I can to make it popular and successful, and do not want to let age or negative image of gamers distract me from that success. Keep up the great work, and I will look forward to being there for all your future success. Have a great year, GTR. So thank you for that email. We really appreciate it. I would just say, from my own personal standpoint, go for it. You know, if this is what you want to do, go for it. Don't let anyone talk you out of it. Don't let any negative Nancy, you know, like me, tell you not to do something that is your dream. And actually, I want Pete to jump in, because he shared a video with us right before we started recording, which I think is perfection for what this email is about. So, Pete, I don't know if you want to talk about that really quick.
No, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So for those that aren't familiar with him, he goes by the name of Casey Neistat on YouTube. He's been around for a couple of years. He's probably one of the premier YouTube original content people, right? I first heard about him about a year and a half ago. I think maybe about a year ago, because it had to do with snow in New York. He was snowboarding, being towed by a taxi going through the city of New York. He does that traditionally. I usually listen. He's one of the few people that I rush to when his stuff comes out. And he talks about the differences of your dreams and reality, and how as you get closer, if you pursue your dreams, you can make reality. So Danny, if you can, please put a link in the description of the show so people can check that out. Cause I really think it's not because we're trying to push Casey's channel. It's more his message, and it's fantastic how people tend to say that if you're a sellout, you know, because you're going for the money. No, it's not because you're a sellout. It's because you're getting closer to making your dreams come true.
I'd never in my life been called a sellout more than on the very day that I achieved something I'd worked towards for 20 years. Something I'd worked towards since I was that 15-year-old dishwasher. So I say this, if you're a struggling musician who gets offered $20 to play in the back of a coffee shop, an artist who gets invited to hang your paintings in your mom's office building, or if you're a YouTuber who gets a $50 brand deal to promote gummy bears, don't worry about being called a sellout. You're just making your very first step towards the impossible, towards making this a little bit closer to this. And you should know that someday, when you've achieved the success that you set out to accomplish, when you're living all the way up here and those haters are still lobbing insults from that well of misery that they live in, you can look down at them and take solace knowing, had they only invested all that energy they spent calling you a sellout and holding you down instead on elevating themselves, that maybe, just maybe, they'd be up here with you.
And making it a reality, as opposed to people who sometimes don't follow their dreams and they cling to the reality of life, of paying bills, and, you know, kids and whatnot. It's just, it's a fantastic story. And I think to Headspark, who sent in the email, check out the video. I think this will help push you towards realizing your dream and making that a reality.
Definitely. But thanks for the email. And everybody has been sending us voicemails and emails throughout the week. Thanks a lot. And continue sending us an email to fanmail@gamertagradio.com. We'll play it. And also, a lot of people are going to SpeakPipe, going through there too. SpeakPipe.com/gamertagradio. Go over there too if you want. And you can send us messages through your phone or a computer. It's super easy. All right. Very quick. In a couple of weeks is PodFest in Orlando. That's the weekend of our 12th anniversary of Gamertag Radio. I'm going to be there, have an opening keynote there, and also the screening of the movie, The Messengers, a podcast documentary. I got to see a couple of clips there featuring Paris and Pete. We were debating one of the clips at the studio in CBS, was it CBS Radio LA? That was a lot of fun during E3. We were debating about one of the press conferences. I can't remember exactly which one, but it was a lot of fun. Very, very cool stuff. And can't wait. So whoever is planning to attend, just email me, Godfrey@gamertagradio.com. We'll hook you up. You get in for free. And also we'll hook you up with a free Gamertag Radio t-shirt. And that's going to be a lot of fun. So I can't wait. Can't wait. We have a lot of listeners that are coming out of town and they're going to attending the event in Orlando. So see you in a few weeks. Pete Paris, anything else you guys want to say before we wrap it up?
No, I'm good.
Go You're Falcons. Good, Pete? Go Falcons.
Well, by the time this comes out, is either they won or...
I know. And I'm just making sure that my thing goes out. So I'm either going to, you know, seem like a genius or...
Okay, well then, okay, I'll go on record. I'll go on record again because we talked about this a little bit before. Okay. New England's winning this game. So I'll probably sound like an idiot in 24 hours, but I think New England's going to win. I don't see Atlanta stopping Brady, and I see Belichick slowing down Ryan. And Alex Mack has a fractured fibula, so he will be limited, and he is what makes that offensive line go for the Falcons. So I'm telling you. Belichick's going to scheme up something. They're going to lose. Atlanta's going to lose. I'm sorry.
All right.
And
quick question. Do you think this will be Belichick's last year?
No. No. He is having way too much fun being the GOAT. Why would he?
I know people have been talking about that recently. And also, I mean, Brady's starting to get up there in years. How much more does Brady really have as a you know, starting quarterback? Pro Bowl, all-star caliber quarterback. And he's still in that top five, right, of all time.
And if he
goes probably top one or two, if not tops. Like, how much longer do you think his body can sustain this?
Okay. Let's back up a second before we get out of here. So, see, this is why we should do a sports podcast, because I really could talk about this stuff all day. But, look at what Brady's doing right now. This isn't Peyton Manning last year where it was clear he was riding on fumes. Brady is still just right now in the NFL. He is still, I wouldn't say top five. I would say top three quarterback in this league right now. All time, even if he lost the Super Bowl, you can argue Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback we've ever seen suit up. You can argue that. That is legitimate, right? If he wins it, I think it's no question. Belichick and Brady are still at the top of the mountain. They're not slipping. They're not slowing down. Losing Gronk, they've not missed a beat. So why? I can easily see Belichick and Brady doing this for three more years. Easily, if they want to. But the fact of the matter is, they've been the dominant force in the NFL, like it or not, since 2001. Think about that. Since 2001, the New England Patriots have been the gold standard in the NFL. Whether they win the Super Bowl or not, they are always in the conversation. It's 2017. Think about that. And they're still going. They could literally have a 20-year run doing this and be at the top and then go out and ride off into the sunset. And all the hate, look, we're talking about haters and, you know, all that, don't chase the stuff. They are the prime example of that in the NFL. Why would they stop at this point? I wouldn't. I'd keep doing it. Because, look, right. You know, there is nothing more that Tom Brady wants in the world right now than to have Roger Goodell hand him that trophy. There's no, that's all the motivation the Patriots need, is for to make Goodell hand that trophy to him tonight. You know what I mean? Like I said, if I had to put money on this, I'm betting on New England tonight because, again, they're still the gold standard. That's just me.
All right. So I'm going to wrap it up.
Danny doesn't care. All right, let's go.
I just don't care about the Patriots, whatever.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Pete, I've been listening to Big Sean's new album. It's pretty dope. I'm really enjoying this album a lot, man. And that track with Eminem, woo! Just listen to it, man. It's called No Favors. God damn. Still the GOAT. On that note, I'm out. Until next time. Peace.
You notice how Danny didn't let anybody respond to that? He says, okay, we're done. Click. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.